ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 20 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड बलि महाराज सरेंडर्स द यूनिवर्स। टेक्स्ट नंबर 2। श्री बलिरुवाच सत्यं भगवता प्रोक्तं धर्मोऽयं गृहमेधिना अर्थं कामं यशो वृद्धिं यो नाबाधेत कर्हि चेत्। श्री ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। बलि महाराज सेड, एज यू हैव ऑलरेडी स्टेटेड, द प्रिंसिपल ऑफ रिलीजन दैट डज नॉट हिंडर वन्स इकोनॉमिक डेवलपमेंट, सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन, फेम एंड मीन्स ऑफ लाइवलीहुड इज द रियल ऑक्यूपेशनल ड्यूटी ऑफ द हाउस होल्डर। I also think that this religious principle is correct. Purport. Bali Maharaj's grave answer to Shukracharya is meaningful. Shukracharya stressed that one's material means of livelihood and one's material reputation, sense gratification and economic development must continue properly. To see this is the first duty of a man who is a householder, especially one who is interested in material affairs. If a religious principle does not affect one's material condition, it is to be accepted. At the present time, in this age of Kali, this idea is extremely prominent. No one is prepared to accept any religious principle if it hampers material prosperity. Shukracharya, being a person of this material world, did not know the principles of a devotee. A devotee is determined to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his full satisfaction. Anything that hampers such determination should be rejected. This is the principle of bhakti. अनुकूलस्य संकल्पः प्रतिकूलस्य वर्जनम्। चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्य 22.100। टू परफॉर्म डिवोशनल सर्विस वन मस्ट एक्सेप्ट ओनली दैट विच इज फेवरेबल एंड रिजेक्ट दैट विच इज अनफेवरेबल। बलि महाराज हैड द अपॉर्चुनिटी टू कॉन्ट्रीब्यूट एवरीथिंग ही पजेस्ड टू द लोटस फीट ऑफ श्री वामन देव, बट शुक्राचार्य वॉज पुटिंग फॉरवर्ड अ मटीरियल आर्ग्यूमेंट to hamper this process of devotional service. Under the circumstances, Bali Maharaj decided that such hindrances should certainly be avoided. In other words, he decided immediately to reject the advice of Shukracharya and go on with his duty. Thus, he gave all his possessions to Lord Vamanadev. Seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can speak something meaningful and from this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bali Maharaj said, as you have already stated, the principle of religion that does not hinder one's economic development, sense gratification, fame and means of livelihood is the real occupation duty of householder. I also think that this religious principle is correct. In this beautiful episode of Bali Maharaj surrendering the entire universe to Sri Vamanadev, we see how Shukracharya, the so-called guru of Bali Maharaj at this point, offered in the previous chapter, as we read, various reasons, quoting the Shastras based on the scriptures, speaking how one should follow the principle of charity or principle of following the vow as long as it supports one material well-being. And of course, as we know, Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amalam Puranam. Srimad Bhagavatam speaks the ultimate reality, the ultimate truth. As in the first chapter, in the second verse itself, the Srimad Bhagavatam rejects the Kaitava Dharma. Of course, we know the Vedic literatures themselves describe Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. But Srimad Bhagavatam is beyond that. It describes the Pancham Purushartha, the love of God. So these principles which Shukracharya is speaking is definitely based on the scriptures, Vedic literatures, but Srimad Bhagavatam is understanding the real purpose of the Vedic literatures. The essence of all the literatures presents the highest truth or the highest reality, the highest understanding of the Dharma. As it is said in the first canto, second chapter, some of the famous, most beautiful verses, which exactly contradicts what our Shukracharya is speaking here. Dharma svanishtita pumsam vishvaksena kathasuya nadpadiyadiratim shama evahi kevalam. So here, as Shukracharya is saying, or as Bali Maharaj is quoting him, is that the principle of religion which does not hinder one's economic development, sense gratification, should be the real occupational duty of human life. But we see what Srimad Bhagavatam proclaims, dharma svanishtitah pumsam, that the real occupational duty of every living being who is situated wherever he is situated is vishvaksena kathasuya, that it develops attraction, yadi ratim, attraction towards the messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If that does not happen, other than that, if the occupational duty, if one performs, results in anything else, either artha or opulence or fame or reputation, whatever it may lead to, Srimad Bhagavatam boldly proclaims that is shrama eva hi kevalam, that is just a useless labor. And that is what Srila Prabhupada also describes in the purport to this verse, that the purpose of the material activities is to completely satisfy the self. And this happens, as Prabhupada explained in that purport, is that we are the spirit souls being part and parcel of Krishna, God. When we serve the super self, the supreme self, the super soul, the supreme Lord Sri Krishna, then the soul is really satisfied. Prabhupada gives that famous example of the bird and the cage. If you just work for taking care of the cage, polish it regularly, spend a lot of money to maintain that cage, but disrespect or do not take care of the bird inside, one cannot be satisfied. So that is what the real purpose of dharma is, as per Srimad Bhagavatam, in contrast to what Shukracharya is saying. Also, another verse the Bhagavatam describes, dharmasya hi apavargasya na artho arthaya upakalpate na arthasya dharma ekantasya kamo labhaya hi smritah. That dharma is meant for apavarga, or going beyond this material world. It should not be used for earth or material gain, as contrast to what Shukracharya is proclaiming here. Na arthasya dharma ekantasya, that one who is dharma parayan, one who is after true religion, should not look for material gain from spirituality. Kamo labhaya hi smritah. This is very, very important, even as practicing sadhakas also. When we take to religion over a period of time as sadhakas, since we all have those desires of material wealth, fame, recognition, we sometimes may miss or forget the real goal of dharma, that is to develop attraction for the Lord, and get trapped by the illusions of maya into getting attracted to some name, some fame, and which can be obtained as this dharma granthas are the kalpa vriksh trees. If you ask for fame while you are practicing sadhana bhakti, or Krishna may provide that. So we have to be very careful. So that is Srimad Bhagavatam. It brings a complete paradigm shift in one's life. As per the other Vedic literatures also who proclaim dharma, earth, kama, moksha, that you do dharma to get some earth, and earth or wealth you can use to satisfy sense gratification. But Bhagavatam is the most beautiful, the cream of the Vedic literatures, which proclaims pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Shrama evahi kevalam. That work is shrama evahi kevalam. Nothing but useless labor. The Bhagavatam does not compromise. That is the beauty of this wonderful literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. And all these stories of Bali Maharaj and all these devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam very beautifully brings forth the substance of Srimad Bhagavatam. Here also in this beautiful episode also we see Bali Maharaj ready to reject anything to attain the highest goal, the love of God, to surrender to the Supreme Lord. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam teaches. And as Prabhupada in the purport is explaining, our devotee is determined to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his full satisfaction. Anything that hampers such determination should certainly be rejected. That is Prabhupada's verdict, that anything that comes on the way, and that is what we see in the life of all the devotees here in Bali Maharaj, to the extent of rejecting his own guru. Of course, this is a very grave subject matter. Who is a bona fide guru and why to reject? At what stage one can reject a guru? We will not discuss that. But the point which Prabhupada is making here is devotee is determined to serve Godhead in any condition. And whatever is essential or required to achieve love of God, one should be ready to give up that. All attachments and anything that hampers our determination should be given up. That's what Prabhupada is, should certainly be rejected. And as we know in the Nectar of Instructions, Srila Rupa Goswami says that the six things which can hamper one's faith or determination or the strength to practice devotional service: atyahara prayashascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha lalyamcha shadbhir bhaktir vinashyati. So these six things, atyahara, or accumulating too much, eating too much, or prayas, doing a lot of endeavors to gain material gains, prajalpa, mundane talks, niyamagraha, or following the rules just for the sake of following and missing the essence, or rejecting the rules, janasanga, that is to give up the association of the worldly minded people, and lalyam, and greed to acquire more material opulences. So herein also we see Bali Maharaj is rejecting all these. Here he is rejecting the association of his own spiritual master, who comes at this point of time in category of janasanga, because he is rejecting the Supreme Lord's the essence of the Supreme Lord's instructions. And Shukracharya is giving the Vedic rules and he's posing different rules to Bali Maharaj, but Bali Maharaj, understanding the essence, not being follower of Niyamagraha, he's rejecting those rules and accepting the essence, that is to please the Supreme Lord. He is following that. So that is the mood of the beauty of this purport, that be ready to reject anything, whatever comes for one's path to devotional service, one should be ready to give that. So with this, we will discuss from one pastime from the Krishna book, which also brings forth this wonderful point, how one should be ready to give up anything. Because as we practice devotional service, there will be definitely many attachments, obstacles which will come on our way. And if we do not make an upper attempt to give up those attachments, then those attachments can divert our path. Like in the case of Bharat Maharaj, that deer, he got attracted to that deer and then he lost that path to devotional service. So we have to be, as sadhakas, very, very careful. Of course, I'm just reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, so please forgive me. I'm not so qualified to speak some big philosophical truths or explain in a very nice way. As Radhishyam Prabhu, is one of his classes, was mentioning that there are two ways of feeding. One is the bird's feeding and one is the feeding of the cow. The cow eats the grass, digests it nicely and gives the essence in the form of milk to the calf. That's the digested food. and the sparrow just takes the worm, picks it up, and gives it as it is to the children's sparrow. So I'll just read as it is. So if somebody likes it, please shower your blessings. If someone doesn't like, please forgive me and shower your blessings so that I can understand. So this is from the pastime of Krishna book, Akrura, coming to Vrindavan. Basically, we will see the determination and ready to give up anything for achieving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, how Akrura exhibits this, and of course the gopis, which is too exalted a subject matter to touch, but still, how they gave up everything, their determination to achieve Krishna's lotus feet, and they gave up everything to achieve those lotus feet in this beautiful episode. So this is after the killing of Keshi and Vyomasur. Of course, Kamsa, on the day of Ekadashi, Bhagavatam describes, he calls for Keshi and Vyomasur and Akrura also, that you go and try to kill Krishna and Balaram. And he knew probably Keshi and Vyoma may not be successful. So he tells Akrura that you go also and try to get Krishna and Balaram back to Mathura. And of course, he's glorifying Akrura that you are the most gentle of all the souls in Mathura and you are the best of my friends. Therefore, you please go ahead and get the two sons of Vasudev to Mathura. And the purport in the Acharya has described that Kamsa was pointing to a new chariot. He was thinking that Akrura is an innocent person. So when he sees the new chariot, he may be inspired to go and get Krishna and Balaram. Like just some new car is there, or you would like to drive. So somebody like honored to drive a new car or some expensive car. So he had a beautiful chariot ready for Krishna and Balaram to receive them. Of course, Acharya explained, Akrura went on a new chariot. Was that it would be inappropriate for the Supreme Personality to mount a chariot that had been used by the cruel Kamsa. So in that sense, Akrura was happy that at least Kamsa is offering a new chariot for Krishna and Balaram. And then of course, our Kamsa explains the whole plan that I will have Krishna and Balaram kill them as soon as they come to Mathura by my elephant Kuvalyapeed, who is powerful as death himself. And if they by chance escape, I will organize that wrestling match, and there my most famous Chanur and Mushtik, they will be ready to kill Krishna and Balaram. And then I will kill Vasudev, and then all his lamenting relatives, Vrishnis, Bhojas, and Dasharas. So I will kill all of them. And then he says, I will also kill my old father Ugrasen, who is greedy for my kingdom. And I will also kill my father and his brother, that is Ugrasen brothers, Devaka, that is Devaki's father, and all my enemies as well. So that is his demoniac plans. And then, my friend, this earth will be free of thorns. That is his Kamsa's plan. And of course he says, my elder relative Jarasand and my dear friend Duveda, who are well-wishers of mine, and all others like Naraka, Shambhar, and Bana, I will use them to kill all of the kings who are allied with the demigods, and then I will rule the earth. So now you have understood my intentions. Go ahead and do this mission of mine. But do not disclose this plan to them. Tell them that I have invited them for a Dhanur Yajna. Akrura, having expertly understood this plan, of course, Akrura gives him a warning that Akrura says that an ordinary person is determined to act on his desires even when the fate prevents their fulfillments. Therefore, he encounters both happiness and distress. My dear Kams, though such is the case, I will execute your order. So with this, because I am your subject, in any case, I will follow your order. So having said this, Akrura, that's in the evening this happens, and then the next day morning he mounts the chariot and is ready to go. And then Shukadeva Goswami begins his description. Shukadeva Goswami said, after passing the night in the city of Mathura, the high-minded Akrura Mahamati, he describes, Akrura mounted his chariot and set off for the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Akruro apichattam ratrim madhupuryam. Madhupuryam is Mathura and Mahamati. And Shukadeva Goswami and the Acharya's comments that Shukadeva Goswami is calling Akrura as Mahamati, that is the most intelligent, the highly minded. He describes that since the previous day was Ekadashi, he fasted the whole day and then in the night he performed kirtan and glories of the Supreme Lord. That is the Mahamati, the real intelligent personality who is always engaged in glorifying and worshipping Krishna. So that was Akrurji. He was throughout the night, as soon as he came to know, he had this opportunity of going to see Krishna and Balaram, his beloved masters. So he was ready and immediately in the morning, he was so eager to go and visit Krishna and Balaram and that he did not even break his fast. And then he immediately just Gachan Pati Mahabhago Bhagavate Ambujekshane Bhaktim Puram Upgata Evam Etad Achintayat. Gachan Pati Mahabhaga. That's another thing. Shukadeva Goswami describes Akrurji as Mahabhaga, as greatly fortunate personality. And the reason, Bhagavati Ambujekshane Bhaktim Param Upagata. That is the real fortune, as he is explaining. Bhaktim Bhagavati Ambujekshane. As he traveled on the road, the great soul Akrur, Mahabhaga, greatly fortunate Akrur, felt tremendous devotion for the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead. Bhagavati Ambujakshane Bhaktim. Now because of his great devotion, he experienced that exceptional devotion which he experienced. Shukadeva Goswami qualifies Akrurji as Mahabhaga or greatly fortunate. And thus he began to consider as follow. So then now Shukadeva Goswami describes the thought process of Akrurji entering Vrindavan. And many times devotees suggest that when we enter Holy Dham of Vrindavan, we should read these beautiful prayers and thought process of Akrurji. How to enter Vrindavan? This is real mood of entering Vrindavan is being described by the prayers of the thought process of Sri Akrurji, who is the most fortunate personality. So Akrurji, he is thinking in his mind and greatly being humbled of being given this opportunity to go and see Sri Krishna and Balaram. He mounts on the chariot and is thinking, what pious deeds I have done, what severe austerities I have undergone, what worship performed or charity given so that I will see Lord Keshava. So that is Akrurji's humility. He is thinking, what is my qualification to see the Supreme Lord? And as we know, this is the qualification to see the Supreme Lord. Humility. And in this way, he's thinking himself, I am a materialistic person absorbed simply in sense gratification. I think it is difficult for me to have gotten this opportunity to see the Lord Uttama Shloka, as it would be for one born of Shudra to be allowed to recite the Vedic literatures. Kirtanam Shudra Janmana, one is born in a Shudra, how in the Vedic times, he won't be given an opportunity to recite the Vedic literatures. Similarly, I am most unqualified personality. How I can see or glorify Uttama Shlok, one who is glorified by choicest of poetries. And then, that is a devotee's humility. At the same time, he has that faith in glory and greatness of the Supreme Lord. As Braj Bihari Prabhu was beautifully explaining in that Sunday feast program about how a devotee offers his prayers being humble, but then he has complete faith in the glory and of the Supreme Lord, and then he glorifies the Supreme Lord and mercy of the Supreme Lord. So Akrurji is continuing, but enough of such thoughts. After all, even a fallen soul like me can have the chance to behold the infallible Supreme Lord. For one of the conditioned souls swept by along in the river of time may sometimes reach the shore by the mercy of the infallible. And then beautiful verse he describes. Mam adya amangalam nashtam falvamscha eva me bhava yannamasye bhagavato yogi dhey angri pankajam.
That today my all sinful reactions have been eradicated and my birth has become worshipable. How? Since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, which mystic yogis meditate upon. So this is the secret how one can destroy one's sinful reactions and eradicate his sinful life and become worthwhile. Falvamscha eva me bhava, falvan. That my life has become falvan, fruitful today. And my amangal in my life has been nashtam, amangalam nashtam. How? Yen namasse bhagavato, by offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord. Just by offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord, one's the nashta, one's inauspiciousness in one's life can be eradicated. And one can become most fortunate. And those lotus feet which are meditated by the yogis. So in this way, Akrurji is saying that even Kamsa has today shown me extreme mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of Lord Hari. That is Akrurji. He is seeing even good in Kamsa. He has now appeared in this world, Lord Hari, simply by the effulgence of Krishna's toenails. Many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieve liberation. So that is a devotee. He sees apparently in this case, as we will see further, how Akrurji gives up everything to worship the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. But herein also we can see how a devotee is ready to give anything. In one sense, Akrur being sent as Kamsa's messenger, so there was a big threat that he would be misunderstood by the Brajabasis when he would take Krishna away from Vrindavan. So he will be greatly misunderstood by all the Brajabasis. That risk was there. And he is even here saying that, and he is seeing the still good even in Kamsa's instruction. Even though Kamsa being a demoniac king, he is against Krishna. Akrurji is ready to follow his instructions because he sees the good in the upcoming good of seeing Krishna's lotus feet in them. As is Kunti Maharani also, she is ready, she is in her prayers, she is offering that I am ready for all the obstacles or difficulties that come on my way as long as I am able to see your presence. So that is the mood of the devotee. Anything for me to see the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, to achieve the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Even if it takes us to be misunderstood sometimes, even by devotees, Akrurji was ready for that. And not ordinary devotees, the topmost of all the devotees, the Brajabasis, but Akrurji is ready. And then Akrurji establishes the Supreme Lord's powers and prowess and his supremacy. He says that he is the witness of all the material cause and effect. He is always free from false identification with them. And by his internal potency, he dispels the darkness of separation and confusion. The individual souls in this world who are manifested here, when he glances upon his material creative energy, indirectly perceive him in the activities of their life, ears, senses, and intelligence. So in this way, he is glorifying and establishing the supreme prowess of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And then a beautiful verse, he says that all the sins are destroyed and all good fortune is created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities, and his appearances. And the words that describe these three things, the Lord's qualities, activities, and appearances, these three things animate, beautify, and purify the world. On the other hand, words bereft of his glories are like the decorations on a dead corpse. So that is Akrurji's solution to purify the material world. As we are hearing that the material world, so many crises, so many difficulties, the party is getting to get over now. But still, Akrurji's is offering this most wonderful solution that discuss about the Lord's qualities, His activities, His appearances. And by these three things, the one can animate, beautify and purify the world. This is the way Akrurji is saying. Otherwise, all other efforts bereft of His glories are like the decorations on a corpse, which is of no use. That is, Akrurji is in that sense glorifying Krishna's activities and pastimes. And then, after glorifying, after expressing His humility, glorifying the Supreme Lord's prowess, He is anticipating how Krishna will receive and Sri Balaramji will receive Him. And then He says, "Today I shall certainly see Him, the goal and the spiritual master of the great souls, Mahatmanam Gatim Gurum. He is the goal and destination of all the great souls. Seeing Him happy brings jubilation to all those who have eyes." That is the happiness of the eyes. For He is the true beauty of the universe. Everyone wants to see the most beautiful person. But here, the essence or the goal or of the eyes is to be seeing Krishna and Balaram. Indeed, His personal form is the shelter desired by the goddess of fortune. Now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. Then I will at once alight from my chariot and bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Theirs are the same feet that great mystic yogis serving for self-realization bear within their minds. I will also offer my obeisance to the Lord's covered boyfriends and all the other relatives or residents of Braj Bhumi. That is, we cannot separate Krishna from His devotees. When we talk about Krishna in Vrindavan, means His covered friends, His gopis and all the other living entities of Vrindavan. So Akrura, understanding this, he is offering obeisances not only to Krishna but all the residents of Braj Bhumi. And then he says, he is just contemplating how he will be received. "And when I have fallen at His feet, the Almighty Lord will place His lotus hand upon my head." And then he says, what is the effect? For those who seek shelter in Him because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time, that hand removes all fear. Datta abhayam kala bhujanga ramahasa. That everyone in this world is being, as here it is described, distressed, disturbed by the powerful serpent of time. And that hand removes that fear. That is Abhaya Prad. That is the lotus hand of Krishna. Provides the fearlessness from this powerful serpent of time, which is devouring each one of us. That is, when we see, as Prabhupada explains in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, in one of the purports in the 17th chapter, I think, he describes that there is no sufferings for a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who sees Krishna's hand in each and every act in his life. So that is the beauty of this Abhaya Prad Hasta, the hand of Supreme Lord, which provides relief from the powerful serpent of time. Because the devotee sees every situation in his life being empowered or being endowed or being mercifully arranged by the Supreme Lord to bring him closer to Him. So in that, if one sees that hand of the Supreme Lord in one of his life, even in all the reversals, he can see Krishna and he can be peaceful and he is free from all fear. That is Abhaya Prad Datta Abhayam Kala Bhujanga. That is, and then he is, our Akrurji is saying that by offering the charity to that lotus hand, Purandar and our Bali Maharaj earned the status of Indra, king of heaven, during the pleasure. And then he describes how this lotus hand has a beautiful fragrance of a sweet flower, the lotus flower. Of course, then another thought is there in Akrurji's mind, that I am coming from an enemy camp, from Kamsa's camp. So will he consider me as an enemy? Or since I have coming from Kamsa's messenger? Of course, Akruraji then he realizes that after all, the omniscient Lord is actual knower of the field of the material body. He knows everything. And he has perfect vision, both externally and internally. So he will understand definitely my real heart, real my consciousness. Thus he will cast his smiling affectionate glance upon me as I remain fixed with his joined palms, falling in obeisances at his lotus feet. Thus all my contamination will at once be dispelled. I will give up all doubts and feel the most intense bliss in my life. Recognizing me as his servant Krishna and Balaram will embrace me with his mighty arms and sanctifying my body, diminishing my material bondages, which is due to the fruitive activities. And then Akruraji describes, having been embraced by the all-famous Lord Krishna, I will humbly stand before him with bowed hand and joined palms, and he will address me, my dear Akrur. At that very moment, my life's purpose will be fulfilled. Indeed, the life of anyone whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead fails to recognize is simply pitiable. That is the beauty. Akruraji is saying that when I'll be recognized by the Supreme Lord, when the Lord will say, my dear Akrur, that is the perfection of my life. And that is the perfection of any devotee's life, is when the Lord recognizes us. When some devotee presents us before the Lord, that he is this personality, he is rendering this service. So then the Lord recognizes us, and that recognition, my dear Prabhu, so that is the perfection of our life. When the Lord says, my dear Akrur, that is what Akrurji is saying. And that is what Akrurji is. Of course, everyone wants to be known or recognized by a great personality. But here is the Supreme Lord, the greatest of all, the most powerful of all, the most beautiful, having the most wealth, renunciation, all the opulences in the full. And to be recognized by him is the greatest satisfaction or aspiration. That is what Akruraji is saying. That when Krishna says, my dear Akrur, and he embraces me, that will be the perfection of my life. And that is the perfection of our life, being embraced by the Supreme Lord and by recognized by him, my dear Prabhu. That is what. Also we see Hanumanji, after he comes back from Lanka, after finding about the whereabouts, the Sita Devi, and then he explains, and then Ramji also says that, oh my dear Hanuman, my dear most dear servant, I don't have anything to offer you in return for this most wonderful service. I have just this my embrace to give you. And then Lord Ram embraced Sri Hanumanji. So that is the perfection of a servant, to receive the loving embrace of his master, my dear Akrur. He's saying that. And then, of course, Akrurji is saying that the Supreme Lord has no favorite. He is no enemies. He is dearmost. He has no favorites, no dearmost friend, nor he considers anyone desirable or fit to be neglected. He lovingly reciprocates with his devotees in whatever manner they worship him. Just as the desire trees of heaven fulfill the desires of whoever approach them. So we just have to approach that wish-fulfilling tree and ask for the right benediction. Those Krishna, like the wish-fulfilling tree, he is there ready to offer his loving embrace, his recognition. Only thing is, we just have to approach. Like in the case of wish-fulfilling trees are there, but unless one approaches them and begs or desires something, one cannot receive it, the benefit. So similarly, the Lord is there. And if with great intensity of Akrura, if we approach the Supreme Lord, we will definitely be recognized. And then Akruraji is saying that after I reach there, Krishna's elder brother Sri Balaramji will grasp my joined palms, and I am still standing with my head bowed down, and he will embrace me and take me into the house. There he will honor me with all items of ritual welcome, inquire about my well-being and about Kamsa and how he is treating his family members. And in this way, deeply meditating on Krishna's glories, understanding his humble position and expecting a most beautiful reception, Akrurji reached the village of Nanda Maharaj. And just on the outskirts, Akrurji saw the footprints of those lotus feet, whose pure dust the rulers of the planets in the universe hold on their crowns. Those footprints of the Lord, distinguished by such marks as the lotus baby corn, barley corn, the elephant goat, made the ground beautifully decorated, wonderfully beautiful. So these are the lotus footprints which Akrurji sees in Vrindavan. That is the beauty of Vrindavan. No Brajabasi or not even the animals of Brajabhumi would step over Krishna's lotus footprints. Wherever Krishna would step, they would preserve them as most cherished object. And when Akrurji saw those beautiful object, he was agitated by ecstasy at seeing those footprints of the Lord. His bodily hair stood on end. His eyes filled with tears. And Akrurji immediately jumped down from his chariot and began rolling among those footprints. Ah, this is the dust from my master's feet. Remembering, he is rolling and rolling like a madman on the dust of Brajabhumi. And then Shukadeva Goswami describes, Deham Bhritam Iyam Artho Hitva Dambam Bhiyam Shucham Sandeshad Yo Harer Lingo Darshana Shravana Adibi. Deha Bhritam Iyan Artho, that the very goal of the embodied beings, Deham Bhritam, that those who are embodied beings, that this ecstasy, Iyan Artho, this is the Artha, this is the goal of life. That is this ecstasy which he is experiencing. But how he does that, he is explaining. The very goal of life for all the embodying beings is this ecstasy which Akrura experienced upon receiving Kamsa's order. He put aside, which as we were discussing, all the obstacles which come. So Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning, he put aside all the pride, the fear, the lamentation, and absorbed himself in seeing, hearing, and describing the things that reminded of Lord Sri Krishna. That is what Akrurji, he gave up his pride as big minister of the king Kamsa and as a big aristocrat. He gave up all that pride and is rolling in the dust of Brajbhumi, of the dust of some ordinary cowherd men. Apparently it looks very, very strange as a big aristocrat and here is rolling in the dust of some simple cowherd boys. So he gave up all his pride and his fear that Kamsa might come to know that I am doing this and he may attack me. He may kill me for this. And then lamentation for his family members that if Kamsa comes to know, he will first of all, he will arrest my family members and kill them. So he gave up all his pride, his fear, his lamentation. So anything to see the Supreme Lord and receive the lotus feet, the blessings of the Supreme Lord. And then one can experience that ecstasy. If one is ready to give up all these attachments, whatever comes on the way of our devotion, be it pride, be it fear, be it lamentation, be it some attachment to family, be it attachment to the wealth, to some position, to being a big pandit, or whatever obstacle which comes, if one is ready to give, then deha bhritam iyana artho, then one can achieve the artha of this embodiment which we have received. That is what Shukadeva Goswami is saying. And then the beautiful vision which Akrurji sees, which all of us can experience if we fully surrender to Supreme Lord. Akrura then saw Krishna and Balaram in the village of Braj going to milk the cows. Krishna wearing the yellow garments, Balaramji the blue, their eyes resembling the autumnal lotuses. One of those two mighty armed youths, the shelter of the goddess of fortune, had a blue, dark blue complexion, other was white, with a fine featured faces. They were the most beautiful of all the persons. As they walked with the gait of young elephants, glancing about with compassionate smiles, those two exalted personalities beautified the cow pasture with the impressions of their feet, which bore the marks of flag, lightning bolt, elephant goad, and the lotus. That is the beauty of Vrajbhumi. Krishna is walking barefoot. Even in Mathura and Dwarka, Krishna wears shoes, but Vrindavan is a special place where Krishna is just walking barefoot. That is Vrindavan. Mother Earth is experiencing highest ecstasy, touching the direct touch of Krishna's lotus feet. Even when Yashoda Mai, as you know, that beautiful pastime, she wanted to offer the shoes, as Maharaj was describing. Yashoda Mai personally made those shoes for Krishna with great love. She got the ingredients. She stitched personally those shoes to offer to Krishna. But Krishna wanted to walk barefoot. Of course, his love for the cows and his love for the Brajbhumi. He wanted to walk barefoot and give all the Brajabasis the pleasure, the satisfaction, the happiness of seeing and taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet directly. The two lords, even in Vaikuntha, Vishnu walks with his beautiful shoes. But here, Brajbhumi has that special mood here. The two lords whose pastimes are most magnanimous and attractive were ornamented with the jeweled necklaces, flower garlands, anointed with auspiciousness, fragrant substances, freshly bathed and dressed in spotless raiment. They were the primeval supreme personalities, the masters and the original causes of the universes, who had for the welfare of the earth now descended in their distinct forms of Keshav and Balaram. O King Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, they resemble two gold-bedecked mountains, one of emerald and the other of the silver, as with their effulgence they dispelled the sky's darkness in all the directions. Akrura, when he saw, he jumped on from the chariot, fell at Krishna's and Balaram's lotus feet like a rod. And then, of course, as he had, as he had thought, the same thing happened. Krishna, recognizing Arjuna, Akrura, that is Shukadeva Goswami says, Bhagavan tam abhipreta, he understanding Akrura's devotion and mood, and not thinking that his Kamsa's messenger, he holds Krishna's Akrura's hand and embraces him. And then, as Akrura had envisioned, Shri Balaramji grasps his hand, takes him to his house and offer wonderful worship, and then the prasadam. And even though it was Dwadashi evening, and as per the Shastras, one should not break the fast in the evening, Akrurji, very overwhelmed by seeing Krishna and Balaram ready to receive whatever Krishna and Balaram offer, the food from their house, he accepted the prasad and great hospitality. And then Akrurji explained his purpose of visit, which later on to Krishna Balaram, and Krishna Balaram explained to Nanda Maharaj. And then finally they left to Mathura with Akrurji. So in this beautiful episode we see how, as Srila Prabhupada is saying, that one should be ready to give up anything to achieve the lotus feet, or the determination at this juncture, where herein we see how our Bali Maharaj is going to even reject his guru who deviated from the true path of Bhagavat Marga, which is beyond dharma, earth, kama and moksha, which and Shukracharya was caught up in. And he just, Bali Maharaj rejects him and surrenders wholesale, fully Atma Nivedanam to Sri Vamandev. So in this way we can also, by mercy of the devotees, we can give up all the obstacles which come on our determination, all our attachments, and then we can experience the ecstasy and the beautiful darshan of Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, as was experienced by Sri Akrurji. Jai, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantraha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.